Seems like we've lost a few here. You can go ahead and be seated. We had a beautiful week this weekend. It's been just gorgeous. I'm here to tell you. We were down in Texas, and they had such nice weather down there, and I got a picture sent to me. There's a restaurant that we go to every now and then when we're down there, the Butcher Block. They make these just awesome. Here we're going down food again, but they make these awesome hamburgers, and they just pile the bacon, and then they have a huge, huge salad bar, but not only just for salad stuff, but anything and everything you could imagine that would fit on a hamburger. And it's all you, many times as you want to go back, it's a great, great place if you're ever down there. So I can get you the details on how to find it. Anyway, right next to it, there's a restaurant called China King. And the China King was about 4 foot underwater. I mean, they've had, I don't know how many inches of rain in the last, I think, 9 inches of rain. 9.5 inches. And they've already had a lot of flooding issues down there, and glad to be back home. I'm glad it's not here, and I'm glad it's not snow. Oh, last week we spoke on the subject. It seems like last Wednesday night was a very long time ago for me, but last week we spoke on the subject of the dangers of the next dimension, and I feel that it's most important that each and every one of us listen to that sermon. I'm not trying to take and pump my own messages, I guess, but I do believe that it's a message that God had given to me as a warning for the church as we continue to move forward in Him, that there are some dangers that are going to be that we're going to have to overcome, and there's some obstacles that's going to have to be overcome, and we haven't achieved, and we haven't completed the process in which God has started in us. And I don't have time to go over this information tonight, and I know it's very important that we understand just what God is trying to show us, as well as what God is trying to tell us and where God is trying to lead us to. I've had this question asked of me many times over the last a few weeks. Where are we going next, Pastor? As it's like we are opening up a map of the United States, and I have an atlas in front of me, and I just look at that atlas and say, okay, here's a red dot, here's a city, where is that city? Oh, we're going to Lexington, Kentucky. It's not quite that simple sometimes to try to take and determine just exactly where God wants us to go next, because one thing we must understand about God, as we go from dimension to dimension, within that dimension there are levels that we achieve, that we go to. We don't just jump from dimension to dimension. I believe that God is showing us that as we enter into this new dimension, this next dimension that He has brought us into, there are levels that we must learn and we must go through as we go through this dimension. And I've asked God the same thing. I've said, God, what next, Lord? Where do we go next? What do I need to speak to the people or your church next? And in prayer over the past few days, I've been feeling as if that God is getting us ready. Now, I understand that I've been feeling this, and I've mentioned this many, many times behind this pulpit, and God is getting us ready, but we have gone through some of the process already. We have gone through, beginning of this year, a purification process, and we need to continue to be in this process. As we go through processes, there are tools. If I could use this analogy, that there are tools or weapons that we need to pick up and take along with us, because as we continue down the road, these are some things that we're going to have to continually use. I've talked about repentance as something that is a continual process. We just don't repent once and we're done with, it's over with, and God is going to take and do a work in us. We must repent, we must die daily. So in prayer over the last few days, and I believe that we need to continue in constant state of repentance. I feel that maybe some of us have let down a little bit on that, but we need to continue also in a constant state of prayer. We will be entering into our second fast in the month of April, and I'll be giving some more details as we get a little bit. We're going to get past Easter, and I'll give some details on that. But our first fast that we started at the beginning of the year, I believe, was a fast for purification. It was a fast where God purified us. He detoxed us physically as well as spiritually. A lot of us received deliverance and all kinds of things that God has been trying to do through us. He was able to take and work through us and get some of that gunk out of our systems. Our second fast, I believe, is for the impartation of God's power to be upon us. Jesus says, "Behold, I give you power. I give you power." We read, it says, power to tread upon serpents, and serpents being our enemy, Satan. He's saying, I'm giving you power to tread upon the enemy, Satan, and over his demonic spirits or the scorpions, whatever that we are going to encounter. But I feel that God is calling for us, you and I, that we need to rise up and rise up to meet with him in a higher place. I feel that God desires to impart into us a greater level of faith and a greater level of expectation, greater than we have ever experienced before. We read on the wall behind me, we see expect, and we see all of the things that God desires to do and what is the result of our expectation or out of the supernatural as God begins to pour it out on us. And I've asked myself the question, God, how do we get from here to here? Anybody ever ask yourself that question? How do we get from here to there? What's the process? There's still more pieces to our puzzle that we have to put together. Jesus says, "Behold, I give you power." I feel that God is calling us to rise up to meet him. I feel God desires to impart into us a greater level of faith and a greater level of expectation. It is greater than we have ever experienced before. Thus answering the question, Pastor, where are we going? We are headed into a spiritual dimension. We are headed into a spiritual zone, if I can call it that. It is a zone in which we will see our expectation and our faith come in a direct collision course. So we are going into a zone where expectation and faith collide. That is the title of my message tonight, when expectation and faith collide. Is a church body, God is going to impart into us. He is going to impart into you and me. He is going to impart into us the powers of the supernatural. We have been around, as I said some time ago, we have been around this mountain long enough. And church, we are moving forward into the realm on which our hope, on which our trust, on which our faith is in God Almighty. And we will come into a direct collision course with our expectation of what God is going to do in us and through us, thus resulting in the impartation as well as the supernatural manifestation of the Holy Ghost. It is literally poured out from the heavens into our lives and into this community. We read in Proverbs 24, 13 and 14, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste shall, so shall be the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." We read in Psalm 62, 5 through 7, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is
from Him. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Perhaps you have read this psalm before, and perhaps you have read this in the past. We have read it as if our expectation is towards God, when in reality what God is saying through the words of this psalmist, that for my expectation, it is from Him. We receive our expectation from God Himself. When we look at the word expectation, expectation means hope. Hope. Things to hope for, a hopeful outcome. You see, expectation, we could say, is the mother of all manifestations. Without the right level of expectation, we will never experience the power of the supernatural. This is something that God has really been laying upon my heart, as He's trying to teach us, church. He's trying to teach us. He has us on a journey, and is a journey that is an awesome journey, and there will be some awesome results of the rewards of who are faithful in this journey. But without the level of expectation, we will never experience the true power of the supernatural as God designed it and desires for us to have. As we lay a hold on the power of expectation and we allow God to release that within us, our futures will be changed forever. It's not just about having expectation. It's not just about having faith in God. It's not just about having hope. It's not just about trust. It's about allowing that expectation. It's about allowing that faith. It's about allowing that hope. It's about allowing that trust to be manifest, imparted into us from an almighty God. And as it is imparted into us, it begins to flow out of us, and the results are something that is supernatural. I think God is trying to tell us something here tonight. Our futures, we have to understand this. Our futures, church, will be changed forever, and our divine destinies will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. God is not going to look down and say, I'm going to cut you off, Calvary Gospel Church. What God has started, He is going to finish. When God says, I have started a work in this church, He is going to complete the process in which He started. Not everyone may complete the process. Not everyone may complete the journey. But God is saying, I desire to take this church, and my expectation shall not be cut off. Our level of expectation, listen, is our God-given ability to make a demand on our future. It is to the point to where that there is a level of desperation within me as a pastor to say, God, you have promised all of this. You have said you would do this. You have promised it. You have gone very public with your promise, God. And now, God, I am going to demand a payment on my future based upon what you have promised us. Our expectation connects us to the supernatural, and for God's supernatural to intervene. And when God's supernatural intervenes, then miracles begin to happen. We look over here and we have a level of expectation, and that expectation comes in direct collision course with the faith. And every man has been given a measure of faith. And when our expectation meets our faith, it is when we begin to see miracles. It is begin when we begin to see healings. We begin to see deliverance. We begin to feel the power. Doors begin to open and blessings begin to flow because our expectation has collided with our faith. I began to study a little bit more into the story in the book of Acts 3, and my first thoughts as I began to go back to this passage. My first thoughts were, God, I spoke on this just a few weeks ago, Lord. Just a few weeks ago, I spoke on the lame man at the gate, beautiful, and what did I miss? And then Brother Noah got up Sunday night, and he spoke again about the lame man at the gate, beautiful. And I'm like, God, there's 8 verses here. It's not that difficult of a passage to understand, but God began to take me back there, and he led to just a short phrase in verse 5, I believe. And verse Acts 3, 1 through 8, the verse 5, the precise in the precise words were, he gave heed unto them. He gave heed unto them, and God took me back to those few words and what that was really saying and what was taking place here between Peter and John and the lame man, and between Peter and John's faith and between their expectation and the faith of the lame man and the expectation of the lame man. And God began to show me and reveal to me that faith and expectation, it's a two-way street. He gave heed unto them. He was expecting to receive something of them. Church, we have many people who come through these doors week after week after week, and they expect to find something. And Jesus Christ is here, and he desires to use us so we can give heed unto them. He, being the blind man, expected something of them. The Bible further explains in verse 6 and verse 8 that Peter said, and we can all quote this, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the lame man's expectation, it wasn't just the expectation of Peter and John, but the lame man, the guest, the person that comes through, and they are struggling with depression, they have anxiety, they have sickness, they have marriage issues, they're in a financial mess. It is their expectation. When it collides with our expectation, and their expectation collides with the faith that is manifest in this place through a body of believers, and it is then that the supernatural can begin to happen. So much for Bible study tonight. 40 years of disability became history. The depression, the anxiety, the sickness, the marriage, the financial struggles. That 40-year-long disability became history, because as expectation collided with faith, then the supernatural was released. An unexpected encounter, the supply of faith, the miracle became an undeniable reality. And God desires that we increase our level of expectation. So where are we going next, church? We are going into a deeper and a heavier and a more powerful level of expectation in the Holy Ghost. Thus he will increase. You see, this is all building upon one another. It's building blocks. It's like Legos, Pastor Phil. One builds upon the other. They're interlocked, they're interwoven, they're intertwined. You can't have one without the other. He will increase our level of faith, and we will see the power of the supernatural unfold before us. Since Sunday night, I have to admit, I've had some serious sleep issues. I haven't had any sleep issues in some time, but this has weighed on my mind, and I've struggled, and I've got up many times in the middle of the night and taken my notebook out and begin to write notes and begin to look up scriptures and begin to look up commentaries, walking around the house, walking outside, taking, and God is seeking to and desires to raise my level of expectation. God desires to raise our level of faith. And he brought me to Romans 12:3. "For I say, to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." It doesn't just say to every born again believer. It doesn't just say you must repent of your sins. You must be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you must be baptized in Jesus' name in order to have faith and expectation. To every man is given a measure of faith. That is why the centurion came to Jesus and he said, all you have to do is speak the word. We're going to talk more about this in an evangelistic way on Sunday morning with the second half of this message. But this half is for the church. Sunday morning is for the unchurched. But God desires to move in a level of faith and expectation even among the unbelievers. Saved or unsaved, he has given or deposited a measure of faith and expectation within every individual. It is this expectation that is deposited into the accounts of humanity by God that has enabled us to even experience salvation. This expectation enabled us to understand our need for God. We are going to go into this more Sunday morning, as I said, but church, come be prepared on Sunday morning. Come prepared to be used by God, just as Peter and John were used by him at the lame man at the gate beautiful. This is something that God desires all of us to experience, not just myself, not just Pastor Phil, not just Bishop Grant or Pastor James Hawk. God is desiring for each and every one of us to receive empowerment in the Holy Spirit. Come prepared to see our expectation and our faith collide. When we look at David, like David, every person has a hope within him, and he expressed that in so many of his psalms. Even the vilest sinner, even the worst person that comes through these doors has a measure of faith, or they wouldn't even be here. They have a measure of hope because there's something in them that says, I need something from God. That is why that they are here. And God is saying, I long for my church to meet that individual with their level of expectation that I have given them, as it measures up to their faith. And as that expectation of us and the expectation of them collide, and the supernatural is revealed, thus releasing God's glory upon us. I feel as this sermon unfolds that God is trying to prepare us, church, for a season of the supernatural. The supernatural in our lives just does not occur accidentally. We don't just stumble across it. It's not something that we come in and through one service and one service only. God says, I'm going to pour this out on a consistent, everyday basis. No, it is a process in which we go through. The supernatural does not just occur, but as a result of the release of expectation within us. It's as we walk in life. Listen, church, listen. It's day by day. It's day by day. We should always, always have a level of expectation for that day. You see, to Peter and John, it was a day like any other day. For the lame man, it was a day like any other day, but God released through Peter and John, and God released through this lame man. He released something. The expectation is releasing things that are all around us, and they're beginning to put things in motion. They're beginning to put you and I in a direct collision course with the world and the expectations and the faith of the world. You see, when the scripture tells us we need to be instant, in season and out of season, I think that we can read this and understand that we need to be instant we always take that and say, well, Pastor, Bishop's sick tonight. He's on the schedule, so you got to preach. We got to be instant, in season, and out of season. We always like to put that in context in a church setting. But I believe that God is saying, I expect this in here, and I expect this out there. You see, we must be willing to change at any given moment. Why? Because as we begin to talk to people and they begin to listen and we begin to listen to them, Bishop, their expectation of the knowledge that we are imparting into them begins to change. As Sister Peggy Moran begins to talk to someone about the miracle in her life of breast cancer, and she begins to talk with someone that is going through the same thing, and she begins to share with them her testimony, don't try to tell me that there isn't a level of expectation that is rising within whoever she is talking about. They're saying, wait a minute, here's a woman that should be dead right now, that should be over in Rose Lawn or one of the other cemeteries around, but instead she's walking, she's talking, she's a grandmother two times over, and God is continuing to move in her life, and there is a level of expectation that begins to rise within them. And as we begin to witness our faith, our level of expectation, it raises their level of expectation, and as a result something begins to shift in the spirit, something begins to shift, and God begins to step in, and his power begins to fall, and faith is released into the situation, and that is why miracles can happen on your way to work. Listen, when everybody's expectation grows, when everybody's expectation expands and their expectation and their level of faith collide, it is in this atmosphere. This is where God is pulling us to. This is where God is saying, come on, church, you can do this. Just step in a little bit more. This is when the glory of God will literally invade this place. And there is nothing, there is no power, there is no principality that can withstand the power and the authority and the glory of God. You see, this unity, this happens when everyone, not just Pastor Roy, but when everyone's faith and everyone's expectations collide, thus allowing God to descend in a certain way to meet with everyone as if they were just one person in the room. As if it was one body. And one voice. When expectation shifts, listen to me, church. When it shifts from an event, as in a single church service, which is how we look at it most times, when expectation shifts from a single church service, you see, we mistake sometimes the presence of God for his glory. And we think, oh, the glory of God's here, when really it's the presence of God. Brother Russell, I desire to experience and see the glory of God. I know what his presence feels like. I've experienced his presence, Pastor Carl, but I want to experience, I want to see his glory. You see, when we're in heaven, we're going to experience his presence, but we're going to see his glory. You see, when we look at that one-time event, we look at it as a one-time phenomenon. But God is desiring this one-time miraculous event to be a lifestyle. You see, it became a lifestyle with the disciples. It was a lifestyle in which revival revival comes to His people and the supernatural becomes the norm, not just an event. That is where God is pulling us to. That's where God is pushing us. He's pushing us. Just as Brother Shane had the analogy or showed the picture of the train in Japan and all of those people were being pushed into the train, God is desiring to push us. Saying, get in! Get in the train! Acts 3:5. And He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. You see, church, revival isn't an awakening. It's a reformation, which is dependent upon a daily expectation more than just a weekly event. Revival. The reason that we're not seeing the results that we're looking for in the church is because most of the church has only an expectation for a single service each week. This is where we have to grow out of and grow into. The reason we're not seeing the results that we're looking for is because most of us look at just a single service. But revival must be or must possess the makeup of daily, daily, daily expectation. It was through the release of daily faith. Daily faith. It was daily faith that released daily expectations, which caused the revival, awakening, and reformation of the early church to occur on a daily basis. Daily they were in the temple praying. Daily they were fasting. And daily, daily the supernatural was happening. Their expectations were daily. You see, Paul is a perfect example of a daily expectation in God, and how is that he walked in it. We read in chapter 12. Chapter 12 is a chapter in which we see the direct results of a collision of faith and expectation. And as a result, the church was awakened, and through that process, the expectations of the church became greater. Understand this. This is something that we've got to grasp this point right here. The expectations of the church became greater than the unbelief of the community in which they were in. Did you get that? You understand that? What God is trying to say to us, church, is your expectation of me. Your expectation of me, Matt Moran, has to be greater than the unbelief of the people that you work with. That's what God is trying to impart into us, church. That our expectation, our level of faith, has got to be greater than the level of unbelief that is in this community. And as a result of the church reaching that level of faith and expectation, their entire community was changed. You see, God is revealing to us one message at a time, Brother Russell. His strategy as to how we are going to win this city. Last week I spoke of a dream I had, and I mentioned Billy Cole's sermon on never having to lay hands on people again to receive the Holy Ghost. You see, church, God is setting this up right here. He's setting this up right here tonight. The seeds of this are being sown right in the middle of this message. We have got to understand this. We have got to understand this, that the foundation of this supernatural process is being laid. It is being formed right here, right now, tonight. You see, it was in my dream that God showed me a community that had been completely changed because of the church. But you see, listen, church, this, I believe, as God used this as a teaching moment for me, He also desires to use this as a teaching moment for us. Our expectation must exceed the unbelief of our community. Church, when we realize that the expectation is not from us, but it's from Him, He will change our perspective of what we would believe could really happen within this community. Thus, allowing and opening the door for a spiritual awakening in a community, in this city. You see, it's not about a bunch of unbelievers getting saved at the church, but it is the church. Listen, it is the church coming into her realization of who God really is. You see, as God began to show me, then reveal this to me, as God began to open my eyes to this, He led me to Pentecost, because that's exactly what happened at Pentecost. It was 120 people in the upper room who came to a realization of who Jesus Christ was, came to a realization of what He was about. They came to a realization of why He came to earth. They came to a realization of why He died. And that is why Peter was able to preach to them in Acts 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea." That's why we will be able to stand up and say, "Ye men of Madison and of Greater Dean County and all that dwell in Wisconsin, be known unto you and hearken to my words, for these men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is what has been preached of by Pastor Roy Grant. This is what God has been desiring to take us through in the last days. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your own men, old men, shall see dreams, dream dreams, and God is going to pour out." You see, that is why, ye men of Madison, you hear these words, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know, him being delivered by the counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, and whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be hold on of it." And he goes on and begins to preach, and he begins to go into the book of the Acts 2:38 of salvation, and begins to preach to them repentance. He begins to preach to them baptism. He begins to preach to them the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And by this time, their faith, Peter's faith, the 120's faith, and their expectation had reached a collision point. And as they began to preach to the men that were out in the streets, they were there expecting something. They had gone through the Passover. That's what they were there. They had gone through. They had seen the crucifixion. They understood what was going on around them. And as the disciples, as the 120's faith and expectation collided with the 3,000 men and women on the street, it was only then that the supernatural literally exploded into this world, Bishop. It is then. But you see, this promise, it wasn't just for them. It wasn't just going to happen back then. I believe that this promise, the promise of the Holy Ghost, it's for them. It is for us today. For this promise is unto you and to your children. This faith, this expectation. It is unto you. It is for you. It is for your children. It is for all that are afar off. It doesn't matter how many generations or centuries have to pass. Whenever my expectation and whenever my faith comes into direct collision course, then that is when the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost is released and we experience a power of the glory of God like we have never experienced it before.
I've been worried about the number of new members born into the kingdom this year. It's worried me. I talked with Bishop about it on our vacation, and we're way behind last year. We'd probably have to go back a decade or so. And I began to ask God, God, what am I doing wrong here? Is my focus on the wrong thing, Lord? I just met with Rossings on Monday night and had dinner. And by the way, they moved their seating. They're moving around here in the sanctuary, and his amens are throwing me off here, Brother Glenn. The other night, he was over on this side, and it confused me all through. I heard him amening, and I didn't see him. I'm like, okay, this is like really spooky. Nathan's starting to sound more like his dad. We talked about this. I prayed some more about this, Brother Rossing. He said, God, what am I doing here? Help me, God, direct me. And God says, you know what? Stop worrying about the numbers. I will take care of the numbers. Don't worry about the numbers. Understand one thing, Pastor Roy. You don't give out the Holy Ghost. You don't give anyone repentance. All you can do is preach salvation and baptize. We need to get ready to baptize. We need to be ready in season, out of season, instant, any day, any night, all night to baptize. Because when God says, when the expectation of this church meets the expectations of the world, and the faith that is in this place matches up with the faith that I have given every man in this city, when those two collide, be ready for an outpouring of the supernatural. God says, prepare the church. And just as Joshua says, prepare the church for tomorrow, we will cross over and I will do great wonders among you. Make sure, understand one thing, church. In order for this to happen, it's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen because a unified church. All I need is an expectation. And as we combine all of this, our fasting, our prayer, our expectation, and our faith, when all of this comes together and collides, God's glory, not just God's presence, but God's glory. Show me your glory. Moses asked Jehovah, and Jehovah says, Moses, you can't handle my glory. But God is saying, church, you are preparing. I have prepared you. You are going through a process, and it will happen. That's why we read in Acts 4:31. Sister Kayla Powell sent me this in a text not too long ago. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's when expectation and faith collide. But you see, we need one more ingredient here tonight, church. You see, it's not about the great speakers that we hear. As Pentecostals, we love our great speakers. Nothing against our great speakers. There are so many more speakers that speak
so much more eloquently and can do a much better job than myself, but it's about our relationship with Him. It boils down to one thing. In order for all of this to happen, in order for all of this to take place, yes, we need to have faith. Yes, we need to have hope. Yes, we need to have unity. Yes, we need the move of the Holy Ghost. Yes, we need faith. Yes, we need all of these things. Yes, we need prayer. We need fasting. But most of all, it revolves around a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, as I spoke last Wednesday night on the dangers of the next dimension, God is saying to us that our level of expectation and our level of faith is solely based upon the depth of our relationship with Him. You see, that is why so many churches have all of this other stuff, but they never get to this level. Because it's not about this. It's not about relationship. It's about all of the stuff. You see, remember the old prophet Jeremiah. God spoke to him and says, "Before you were even born, Jeremiah, I knew you." God was saying, "Matt Moran," I pick on you a lot because you sit on the front. "Matt Moran, before your mother and dad were even knew each other, before they ever got married, before you were ever conceived, I knew you and I desired to have a relationship with you." That's what God was telling Jeremiah. It's all about relationship. As our musicians can come tonight, and as you can stand, the 12 influenced multitudes because of two things: expectation and faith. We can have faith with little expectation, but we need to have great faith, great expectation, so that when the outpouring of the supernatural begins to flow, the abnormal becomes the normal. We can keep the doors open to others who have no faith and little expectation. You see, church, we need more than ever to stand firm and to stand strong and to stand in the gap. You see, the 120 in the upper room had the expectation. They had the faith. And when they opened the doors, when they opened the doors to that upper room, and they began to walk out into that courtyard, they took with them their expectation. They took with them their faith. And when Peter got out to preach there in the streets of Jerusalem, a world awaited. And through the power of relationship and through the power of unity coupled with faith and expectation, the power of the Holy Ghost was released into this world, and it has changed this world forever. Expectation is the key to releasing the Holy Spirit. We must know His ways and understand how to live in His presence. Finishing on an odd, seemingly odd note, the book of Malachi 3:1-3, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming. And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in what? An offering in alms, an offering of monies, an offering of time, that thee may receive, may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Church, we are in a refining process. And the refining process of His Holy Spirit comes from the expectation and faith that we carry. Not only does the expectation release the supernatural into our lives, but it also releases His refining process into us as individuals and a church. He said the refiner's fire. The refiner's fire, it cleans the inside. It cleans the inside. It purifies the gold and the silver. And the purification, the impurities float to the surface where it's skimmed off. I remember years ago in plumbing, we would have to melt lead. And we would take old used lead that had all kinds of impurities in it, and you would put it on a ladle and put your torch under it, and you would melt it until it becomes liquid. 1200 degrees molten liquid lead, and all of the impurities would come to the surface. And you would take with another ladle, and you would take and you would scoop out those impurities. And when you poured that new lead, what was once old, full of old gross wax and oakum and all of the garbage that collects on it, and you poured into a new lead joint, it shines like silver. It looks like liquid mercury. And God is desiring, God has taken us through a refining process, cleaned our insides, fuller soap, it cleans the outsides. He was doing a two-fold process to us, church. That expectation of faith. It's not all about the supernatural results and miracles, but it's also about cleansing. It's about cleansing. Without this cleansing, we would not be able to stand before Him with hearts having His expectation, the level of expectation that He desires to use through us. As David cried out, "Oh Lord God, purge me with hyssop. Purge me." David had come to a point in his life where he desired a good old-fashioned cleansing from the inside out. This cleansing, church, releases the expectation of righteousness, and as a result would cause us to cease from our own efforts, our own energies, and embrace His process for us. Are we ready for this, church? Are we ready for this? Are we ready? How many times have we asked God questions? You see, I asked God a question a few years back. God showed me in this dream. I hate it when God asks us questions. We go and we say, I asked God, I said, God, everything that I saw in this dream, all of these miraculous, all of these people being filled with the Holy Ghost, being baptized, can you do all of this, God? Will this actually happen? God spoke to me so vividly, and He says, Roy, everything that you saw, I can And then he asked me, Roy, how bad do you want it? So I asked you the same thing, church. God has already showed us time and time again what he desires to do. We've got to ask ourselves, how bad do we want it? I begin to tell him, God, if I got to give up my house, Lord, I'll give up my house. If I got to give up my motorhome, my four-wheelers, if I got to give up all of this stuff, God, I'll give it up. I begin to tell God, I'll give up anything. But you see, God wasn't looking for my stuff. I was looking at houses and lands. I was looking at all of my stuff, and God was looking at the inside, and he was looking at my pride. He was looking at my arrogance. He was looking at my selfishness. He was looking at the inside of me and seeing, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the outside stuff. And then he ended with this statement. If you're willing, what price, Roy? If we're willing, church, what price? What price? What price, church, are we willing to pay? What price are we willing to pay? To see expectation and faith collide, thus releasing the supernatural and the glory of God into this place, into our lives, and into our community. Let's pray, church. Let's pray, church. God is here. God is desiring. He's desiring to lead us. He's desiring to take us. He's desiring to teach us. He's not going to leave us out there hanging. He's not going to leave us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He desires to refine.